Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we appreciate your kindness to us, which is beyond imagination, beyond reasoning, Lord. We cannot fathom it. We can by faith accept it, seeing we have been endowed with the proper soul and the life genes of God to receive that which is given to us. But as Brother Branham said, you are here in vindication and power and wonder. You are actually wooing a bride to yourself and truly currying favor with her, which is indeed a most marvelous statement in light of the fact that so much of the worship of people today is one of necessity brought about by a fear, one that does not truly understand the love of God and the grace and goodness of God, which at this moment we must admit we are heir to, and humbly and confess, Lord, that we are not fully appreciative and in tune with that which is in this hour. But knowing, Lord, that this life here is given in the flesh that we might be tested and tried and sanctified in the life processes of the Word by the Holy Spirit, and yet going into the millennium for further sanctification, we are not too alarmed. We just hope we have not fallen short in this particular segment of our journey as we get ready for the next one. May we, through this Word, the life of the Word, the faith that we have in this Word of indications, put us in direct, wonderful order to go into that next land, Lord, and receive further edification, sanctification, growing up as we have not previously, nor could we until that particular hour. So we rest our faith and hope in you this morning, Lord, not in our own faith, but in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who himself believed you, Lord God, so perfectly and so marvelously, that we can rest upon his faith in you, and that faith absolutely manifested in us. This we rest on this morning, and thank you, Father, that we are not of those, hopefully, who want to put something to that which you have done, but we stand back in perfect rest, knowing that you have done it all, and we can depend on it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to talk about the seed of God and the seed of Satan, or talk about soul and spirit, which I suppose that is what it's all about, or at least to a degree. Now, last Sunday we were going into the question as to what kind of a soul, if any, Cain had, based upon the fact that his father, the beast, did not have a soul, though he did have a place for a soul. And Brother Branham said the beast or the serpent did not have a soul, but he actually had a place for a soul. In other words, this would cause us to presuppose the serpent seed, the serpent himself, though having no soul, serpent seed, that is, which is a duplication or coming forth of that same life, would have some type of a soul, because if there's a place for it, there would be something there in the Scripture that, and in the fulfillment of Scripture, which, of course, is the individual, if you want to call him that, which he was, which was Cain, and whomsoever he fostered. Now, this, of course, posed a hard question, because it would appear that since Cain's father had no soul, and Eve could not even pass on life to him, that is Cain, except for equal physical genes and chromosomes, if the chromosomes and genes were equal, and I would suspect that they were in order to produce a child, and these would all form physical qualities and characteristics only. So it would seem that there was no way Cain could have a soul. Yet it is very evident by Scripture that not one of the human race of one lump of clay. Now you understand what I'm saying. Not, as we know, the human race, which is one lump of clay. It is not said in Scripture, as far as I know, that there is one of them that doesn't have a soul. But contrarywise, it appears axiomatic that every single being that came from Adam and Eve and came from Eve and the beast. There's two lines here we're talking about. Two genealogies, two types of beings. It is not said that any of them does not have a soul, but rather, the Bible speaks of everyone having a soul, and that soul could live forever or be destroyed in hell according to God's foreknowledge and election and predestination, and that foreknowledge, election, predestination would be according to the source of the soul. You understand what I'm saying? So that's what you're looking at. That's a tough one. Now, as we finished our discourse last Sunday, which was anything but a definitive answer, I got to admit it, we had to face Brother Branham's own problem with the question or questions that arose or that arise as we deal with soul and spirit, conscious and subconscious or unconscious mind. And all those relate to spirit realm. Spirit realm, the invisible. Spirit realm propositions of our humanity that are more vague or mysterious than point blank. And easily understood revelations, let us say, about justification, sanctification, baptism, and so on. So you're dealing with very intricate things here that at this point we still have to deal with them, looking at them, and leave them as we find them unless we can come to something tremendously definitive from Brother Branham's message. Now you remember, I filled you in on what Brother Branham said concerning a very disconcerting pressure he was under as he set forth in a vision of fishing. Now the vision of fishing was the middle one of a composite where Brother Branham was out fishing, as I mentioned, surrounded by a bunch of preachers, and they were encouraging Brother Branham to show them how to fish because there was a lot of fish out there. And there was little fish and medium-sized fish and great big fish. And Brother Branham, being a fisherman, and an excellent one, he really knew how to fish. So the day I was with him, he didn't catch anything, as he put his little two-bit kind of fishing material out there in the river. And he cut little pieces of branches with a fork on it, and he'd throw the line out there, and then he'd put the little, his little cheap fishing rod. I think it was even homemade in some cases. I don't think he had a pin on it, though, you know. He had was something bought. He put a rock on it and then watched to see if any of the lines bobbed, see if he got anything. Unfortunately, he never caught anything that day, but we did have a good time talking anyway. Brother Branham was an excellent fisherman. And he was going to tell the preachers how to fish. Now, remember, this is a spiritual thing. And he tossed the line out. He said, now what you do, you toss the line out way out there. And he said, give it the teeniest jerk, and that'll excite the little fishes. And the little fishes coming will excite the middle-sized fishes, and the middle-sized fish will excite the great big ones. And remember, you're fishing for the great big ones. That's what the story was all about. Well, Brother Branham got too excited by their screaming and jumping up and down, proclaiming him as a great fisherman, because what you're looking at, of course, is his tremendous vindication. And of course, instead of giving the little quick jerk, you know, to get the little fishes training, he inadvertently gave a mighty sweep, and he came out with the fish skin tight over the lure, which is impossible. I think it's impossible. Any fisherman here, Gene, says that seems pretty impossible to you? Yeah, I think so. It was a fiasco. And his lines were all around his feet. It was a real mess. And the next thing, he's got a little tiny baby shoe, and he's trying to put maybe it's the end of his finger thick, the little tiny eye. You know what the eye of the baby shoe is like. And I think they still have baby shoes with eyes on them for laces to strap them up to give the kid good support. Most of them, I guess, today, they're with Velcro and, you know, slip-on, all that stuff. I still see them with those eyelets, so. The angel said, now look what you did. See? And I told you that not to get your lines mixed up in troublous times like these. And Brother Branham crying and mumbling, and the angel said, here, he said, you got the wrong end. Well, you can't make it fit. And so he took a little tiny end and he could come through. And the moral of the story was you can't teach Pentecostal babies spiritual things, which, devolve into gifts, which are spiritual gifts, but true spiritual things, of course, happen to be the Word, which I myself break down to the fact, more or less, of doctrine. But, you see, that's what they came to Brother Branham and said, now, Brother Branham, instead of getting after our women here, our ladies, why don't you teach us spiritual things about spiritual gifts? And he said, having learned these lessons, he said, how in the world can you teach them spiritual things like that when they don't even know teach them algebra when they don't even know their ABCs? Now, Brother Branham himself admitted, and it could have been when the tape was being turned over or is just inadvertently missed, but I was there when he talked about it, and he said, see what it was, trying to explain to the preachers where the mind is, and the conscious and subconscious, and where the spirit lies, and all of those things. And so, as you study with me, and you remember what various preachers are preaching and have preached, you will find that this subject is a very, very dangerous subject. And you can get into a lot of hot water by thinking that you can bring it to a point where you can really utilize it, or you begin to bring it into an area where you can 1, 2, 3, 4, that you really know all about it. So we're going to work on it this morning again, bring up some more points which perhaps were not brought up last week, and you can begin to see, I believe, from what we go into, that there is so much interchanging of words that lie in the same realm. And yet, because of those words, define certain areas within those realms that evidently and no doubt God wants us to know, but you cannot bring it to just each word being perfectly set in its own little category, and you cannot move from it, but you find an overlapping. All right. Now, years ago, because of what I mentioned here, the difficulty that Brother Branham had, and he was rebuked because he'd done this very thing that he should not have done, I mentioned when I considered the two souls doctrine, I considered it error, because they were trying to figure out things in this very subject, and it just doesn't work the way you think you're going to make it work, listening to Brother Branham's sermons. And I realized that the opening of the seals, we have the correction of the errors, and we have much we did not have before. But remember, Brother Branham used the same thought that Scofield and other men have used, and that is, though the mystery has been explained, there is still an element of the mystery, so that you do not have it as perfect as you might think that you do have it. Now, back years ago, Brother Branham, and I'll just make mention of this one quote that I did not bring with me, but it's back in about 1961. Brother Branham mentioned that God created the soul and the spirit, and the body was there waiting for it. Now, you know that that statement wouldn't even begin to hold water from about 1963, the opening of the seals, and perhaps even before then, because I haven't checked every single solitary thing through. You know that is not correct, that there is a created soul and a created spirit waiting for that body, which would mean instantly there is a life in the womb, as he said, on one place, separate from the other life. It would not hold strictly with the scripture, because first thing you're going to have too many souls and too many spirits and too many everything. You're going to have a pyramiding of it. You see, that's like when they say the old soul must die. Was Brother Branham saying there was actually an old soul that had to die? Well, the point is, how old is old? So they said, what's the difference between Jesus and God? He said, no difference except one had a beginning. So, all right, the old soul, then, if you're going to call the old, would be that which was without a beginning. Do you want to get rid of your eternal gene? What is he talking about? Sorry, then we might have gone to the Greek and the Hebrew. Well, did Brother Branham do it? Yes, he did to a certain degree, but never came before you and me and did it. So you have to be pretty careful as to what you're looking at. So we notice that what Brother Branham said back in 61 concerning a creating of a soul and a spirit to receive that body was absolutely changed essentially in the fact, and you know the quote positively, that Brother Branham made it many times, and he said, you can take the raunchiest, filthiest woman, she could even be a prostitute of great magnitude and filth, and bring forth a baby, and just before she brings forth that baby, no matter how raunchy, how miserable, how wicked, how mean, how this, how that, unless she's mental, she seems to change, and a sweetness comes into the room because there's a spirit waiting there to receive the body. Is that right? That's what he said, different times. He didn't say a thing about the soul, did he? So you can see that as we look at the questions here, and we look at what we are dealing with, you'll find that it's actually only after the opening of the seals we get to anything that even purports to be a definitive. And you will see the strange thing is that much of this is in the last 10 sermons that Brother Branham preached. The last little while just before he expired. And particularly those out in California, which there were a few. So we notice that Brother Branham's statement concerning soul and spirit being created was greatly changed as to being more definitive after the seals, though even before the seals he used Larkin's statement on attributes that lie in the soul and the spirit, but changed that by putting the spirit on the outside of the soul in order to explain anointed ones at the end time. Now this is identically what Brother Branham used. I could have had it magnified large here, but it's the threefold nature of man. He has body, which is soma, and with it down below he has carnal, that would be toma and soma. Of course, the word carnal is not necessarily not toma, but it's carnus. Then he has the soul of the psyche in the second circle, and he has the spirit, which is pneuma, within the third, and within that soul he places the spirit, the Holy Spirit. And in there, Brother Branham used the very same things that Larkin did. In the body, there are five gates: eye gate, nose gate, ear gate, mouth gate, and the feel gate. In other words, he mentions those five senses of feeling and smelling and hearing and and so on. And then, of course, Brother Branham said there was another attribute, another sense, the sixth sense, which is by faith. And, of course, that is not necessarily a part of the body, but it actually would be distinctly against the body and distinctly against part of your being, whether you call it the mind, and the mind works with the spirit. So now you've got another element in there. That's why there's conscious, subconscious, and unconscious, and so on. Now, within the soul, Brother, he had imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affections. Now, within the spirit, he had the faculties of faith, hope, reverence, prayer, worship, and spiritual insight. I guess, let me see. One, two, three, four. No, he had the spiritual insight is what that all counts to. Comes to the spiritual spirit. Now, Brother Branham actually taught that. But, however, when it came time to reveal the real definitive truth of the two vines and the two seeds, you will notice that Brother Branham, by absolute revelation to God, turned around and told us he'd made a mistake. That the spirit was not on the inside. It was the soul that was on the inside, and the spirit on the outside can contact the five senses. And the reasoning, which is not a part of the five senses, although the five senses contribute to it and the reasoning is based upon it, takes place in the mind, in the spirit. Right? That's what he said. So, all right. He had to change that. And when he did, he left the various attributes as they were, so that in the soul was faith, hope, reverence, prayer, and worship, and within the spirit was imagination, conscience, memory, and so on. Now, Brother Branham did not belabor it. He did not claim originality. He merely went along with Larkin. And remember, of course, that Brother Branham could not claim originality, as though without him you had no doctrine, you had no spirit, you had no anything. That would be the most fallacious thing under high heaven. What Brother Branham claimed and was true, under the seven seals the errors were corrected, and what had been not given from the Word to the true revelation and meaning of it, because it was not time, he would bring it forth. That's why when they came and said, Brother Branham, you could write another Bible, he said, no, by no means. He said, that's a trap you're trying to put me into, because you cannot add to and you cannot take from. It is in here. So we understand where we're coming from. Right. I'm sure we do. With that in mind, let's just jump over here to Luke 16. You better have another tape pulled out there, son, just in case we tape talk you to death this morning, which I hope we don't. But we're going to go to Luke 16, and we finally get to it eventually. Beginning at verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And now this is the rich man who said, who turned down Jesus from following him. And then he went, Jesus knew his weak spot, which was finances. The guy just loved money and everything that could do with money, and he just hogged everything to himself and spent it on himself. And then he had so many crops, he had to build more barns, and he said, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, because he said, you've got much good laid up the rest of your time. One man said, this man mistook his soul for his body, but that's not really true, because you can use the word soul as in the Bible that says eight souls were saved in the ark. Simply designating people. That's all there is to it. You also designate your soul as an affection for food. In other words, what thy soul lusteth after. That's in the Bible. It says you sell what you got here because it's too far to go to Jerusalem where you're going to worship. And you sell it and take the money, then buy what thy soul lusteth for. Showing, in other words, if you've got a particular taste that you want to indulge in at the time of the sacrifice, you're well able to do it. And the taste lies within the mouth, right? Yeah, the salivary glands and the little taste buds and all those things there. So, all right. We just trying to show you that many people jump at things and they've no business jumping at them. And when they jump, you know, they jump overboard. And if you happen to hit the swells in high water, one of the waves, you just go down. Now, Brother Branham told us not to jump. He said, stay with the vessel, because the vessel has got the stabilizers on it, and thereby we crest every wave. And to stay with the vessel is stay with the Word. All right. Now, it says here that the dogs came and licked his sores, and the beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus in. He dipped the tip of his tongue in water, and cooled my tongue, for I am tormented in pain. Now notice, the man had memory. Now what can go to hell? The soul can go to hell, right? Ha-ha, the Bible says so. Destroy both body and soul in hell. Of course, that looks to the lake of fire and the final destruction. And Brother Branham mentioned, when your soul, spirit leaves your body, it goes back to God, just like Jesus did. His soul goes to Hades. And Brother Branham said, your soul goes, and Brother Branham was in that place where he saw those women with cat's eyes coming up in the spirit world. And he said, the most horrible thing under heaven. He said, it's like a never-never land, always falling and falling, he says. If you think you've got a tough here, you wait to go there. So, all right, this man was in torment. So now he has memory, he has feeling, right? Also, he says, let him put his finger in a couple and put it on my tongue. Because I'm tormented. It's too hot down here. And Abraham, now this could be a parable. But remember, a parable talks about something. And so Brother Branham is agreeing, because Larkin is taking material from, I don't know where he's from, I'm just pointing out that Larkin had a legitimate reason to say these things. Now, he says, son, remember in thy lifetime thou receivest good things. He's got his memory, twice as mentioned now. He's got recognition because he recognizes. And you notice he's the real old McCoy that he was, and the beggar's Lazarus, the same old real McCoy, and Abraham's the same old real McCoy. That's why Jesus said, God is the God of the living. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's not the God of the dead. Right? So, all right. And this is before the first resurrection, when Lazarus will come forth, and Abraham come forth, and Isaac, and David, and these great men of God. Okay. Now, and besides this, there's a great gulf fixed.
So they which could would pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass and from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. I've got five brethren, that he may testify them, lest they come to this place. Now this man evidently had compassion. Yeah, he had brotherly kindness. He had brotherly love. And you'll notice that he repented. Oh yeah, you can't preach repentance unless you yourself repent. Now he didn't repent that he was a bird of an off color. He repented he got caught. It's like the guy said. He said, I'm not scared to steal, I'm scared of getting caught. So you're scared to steal because you're afraid you might get caught. It proves like one fellow said, you're not a thief because you steal. You steal because you're a thief. Oh, these witty, witty things that people tell us. The bon mots, you know. All right. So, all these things were in him. So you can see that if the soul went down there, my understanding is absolutely that the soul has memory. Of course, the spirit would have too. He would have reason. He would have conscience. Certainly have imagination and affection. So, all right. What I'm looking at here is, and trying to show you, that Brother Branham, agreeing at that particular time, and as he said, he never was wrong in his doctrine, but he was wrong in certain facets or characteristics concerning the major doctrine of which he was not wrong, but in error that he himself was in that needed correction, for Brother Branham himself as a prophet did not need correction, and he was the seals. Christ is the seals. Remember, Brother Branham categorically said when Adam and Eve got into sin, he did not send anybody, even an archangel, down for his son and his daughter. He himself came down, so did he. Got his picture. So, all right. We're looking now, after the opening of the seals, what Brother Branham said supersedes or corrects anything and everything that was before it. And even at that, we're not going to learn an awful lot. I just guarantee you. You'll be better off listening, of course, because you'll look at some things and see some things, then you'll be smart enough to leave it alone. Now, some people simply can't stop picking. If they keep picking at a sore, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you start putting this in your mind, you just get further and further away from the truth. Because remember, there's a certain scripture in there we've got to look at a little later on. Now, then, after the seals particularly after the seals, Brother Branham began to associate the soul with eternal endowments, meaning that the soul entirely, as a complete unit, whatever the soul is, or at least in part, if there's something inside the soul, is actually eternal. It never had a beginning. It was not created, as he taught in 1961. True. That's all there is to it. It is actually, was and is, a part of God. This lines perfectly with Genesis 2 and 7. He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, which was the Holy Ghost, period. And it says, he became a living soul. It also says in the vernacular, the original, as far as I know, he breathed in the breath of lives. And man became a living soul. In other words, at that time, he was fully fit to propagate as a son of God and God's own sons. Now that's going to make everybody step and take notice, because you see, they all got the idea the soul pops in at a certain time, or you don't have this, or you don't have that, you're not born with it. Well, fiddle-dee-dee and fal-de-rol, I'm not interested in those guys one little bit. Okay, let us therefore read some quotes. No circumstances will be considered when faith finds its bedding ground. In other words, you can't look to circumstances. You're going to look positively apart from every single thing that you think you know under the microscope, without the microscope, or anything else. But you can relate to the human bodies of reproduction. When a germ gene from a man finds the egg in the woman, and both of them fertile, something's going to happen, hallelujah. The doctor can say, you'll not have a baby. I can prove that genes in your body dead, her eggs will never be fertile, but let that fertile egg. In other words, the woman doesn't have life, we know that. The man has the life. But that egg cannot be rotten. It has to have fresh, distinct properties within it for the living sperm to touch it. In other words, it's already been produced by a life, a process within the woman that came from the man, and it's lying right there with everything it needs to unite with the sperm, and it's absolutely just as important as the sperm is. No egg? You're in trouble. No sperm? You're in trouble. All right. Now, but let that fertile egg, now watch his language, it's beautiful. Let that germ twist itself into that egg one time. Watch what happens. That little boy or that little girl comes on the scene. Why? Faith has found its bedding ground. Works go to work. Watch. Cell on top of cell. And here comes a little fella. Amen. God have mercy on us. Oh God, to be rugged Christians like we should be, if we're men and women, we could take God at His word. You can't do it until it's revealed to you. Now, he's taking here, we don't read the whole context of it, he's taking this little example here of into the spiritual, taking the physical. Now watch, modern events made clear. But the real ordained of God, that real gene, that real germ, a real soul of God that was in God before the foundation of the world. Remember, you that's really got the Spirit of God in you tonight, you were here in Christ before He was the fullness of the Word. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. You believe that? Look, He was in Christ. Then if you were in God, a gene, a word, an attribute from the beginning, then you walked with Him here on earth. You talked with Him on earth. You suffered with Him on earth. You died with Him at Calvary. He even mentions suffering and paying the price for your own sins in another place. And you rose with Him again. And now you're sitting in heavenly place in Christ, Jesus, communing with Him in the Word as it feeds your soul. That man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's a far cry from what was said in 1961. See, and you say, well, Brother Branham was wrong on his doctrine. You're absolutely wrong. He was right in his doctrine, body, soul, spirit. He knew that. But he couldn't place it entirely until God showed him. Didn't know the substance whereof, though it was in the Bible, and we took you back to Genesis to show you. And Brother Branham gave us the key. He knew it. That was the Holy Spirit God breathed into that man. And set those life processes going. We may talk about that a little more in a little while. No circumstance will be considered. No. I'll go over here. It's a better one. Now, the next thing you received was the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, God, when this millennium's over, God's going to give the world a baptism of fire. It's going to blow the whole thing up. The heavens and earth be on fire. Peter said so. And the thing will have a baptism of fire, renovation of the whole thing. And then there'll be a new heavens and new earth. Then when righteous, where righteousness will dwell. That's where we become from mortal beings, from time beings to eternal beings, when the Word of God lit our soul and we became sons and daughters with the attribute and gene of God in us. Now notice in there, it'll sound like he's saying, you become then, you become then. He's not saying. He said, you become sons and daughters, the gene of God in us. He doesn't say this brings the gene of God in you. He said the gene of God is in you. And your sons and daughters. When the Holy Ghost falls upon you, he's talking about the baptism of fire, which is a renovation, which really is a deliverance. You see what the fire, what does the fire do? It puts it in a position to go back to the original. You follow me? So the baptism with the Holy Ghost puts us in position to go back to the original sons of God, where we're not having a word body. By the baptism, we're just as good as having a word body, because now we can walk in the light. You say, you mean just as good? Sure, because when we fall into sin 1,000 times a day, backslide 1,000 times, He stands there as our great intercessor, the one that brought us in to keep us in. See, you've got to put the whole thing together and just don't jump around like a bunch of chickens on a hot brick. If you take your doctrine without understanding the true lines of doctrine, you can mess up. And you will mess up, just put it that way. Now, if you're son and daughter of God, you won't. Now, and make that an altar, because the altar's setting full of people, like he's talking about, you know, an altar's up here, they can't get to it. Now, he said, what are you going to make an altar? Make that altar there in the chair where you're sitting. Make your heart that altar. May the world move off from every brother and sister in here. And may that little germ of light, that gene of God we just talked about, that attribute that came down from God and has been manifested here, how? The discernment, the vindication, to honor and glorify God. God moved the world from them. That's your perfect faith. See, I've talked to a brother the other day, and he said, Lee, you know, he said, I picked up that book, Perfect Faith. It's underlined here and there and every place else. And he said, man, I didn't understand it. You know why I believe he didn't understand it? Good brother. Because he was thinking in terms of Brother Branham telling us that was our ministry. That was Brother Branham telling us that his perfect vindication gave him the perfect revelation vindicated that when you're a part of it, you have perfect faith. Because faith is a revelation. Then what comes out of it is going to come according to the word. Like the other day, I was just thinking, oh boy, talking to God. Now, Lord, if some little thing here, and that's, oh, shut up, stupid. It's in the word. Still got too much Pentecostal hogwash in us. Too much go to the refrigerator door. Oh, the light's off. Something's going to have some dark. Oh, for Pete's sake, put a new bulb in and get the switch fixed. Shit. You're going to make God a refrigerator light? Like the old, when I get the goosebumps, I know it's God. I said, now he's the God of the goosebumps. So I've heard everything. Yeah. Okay, Martin DeVent. And so we find out that God, God does that in every age. God does his own choosing by his own predestinating choosing, chooses his prophets and things for that age, fixes his nature, the man's nature, to meet the challenge of that day. God creates that man and sends him, and in his own mind, as I preached on last night, we are a germ of the gene of God. In other words, we're the life right behind anything that's going to appear. Because, you know, we had it from God. That's right. If you don't have what came from God is life, whatever does appear, it's vain. See, that's why everything is destroyed and burnt up, completely annihilated outside of the two virgins, wise and foolish. God can't waste. Do you mean to tell me that God will destroy part of himself? Come on. As in Adam all died, even so in Christ, it says an identical manner. What does it mean, identical manner? We didn't have a choice in our falling away, and we don't have a choice in our falling up. Do what you want with it. I can read my Bible. I've no problem. Fixes his nature and so on. I preached last night. He knew that man would be there in that age before there was a molecule or a light. Never did, so that's your Rima Logos again. What was back in their period can never change, never violated, will always manifest exactly what was there. Why? Because he's omniscience and omnipotence and nature of love. Can you beat that? Why, my goodness me. You could never, as a father, you just couldn't want anything better. Future home. Look, those hands that designed this for his beloved, the bride, New Jerusalem, see? Designed in tender love for his bride. Remember that the Holy Ghost descended on Jesus, which Jesus was a part of the earth. Why? The germ of God, the life of God was designed in the womb of a woman. Is that right? Which was on earth. All right. And then the life of God came in, so he was the beginning of the creation of God. See? See what was in his mind? Coming down, right there. Came right to human flesh. Showed it by every pattern. Like Brother Branham said, God is in the prophets in a measure. Right. Then he came what? He was the fullest of the word. God himself came in. What? To a prophet. What's he done now? Put the life in a bride. Type in David and his 500 wives. And so on. All right, then the life of God commenced. We saw that. See, and then the blood of God. See, then that blood of God that was there by that germ, which was shed at Calvary, dropped back upon the earth. What for? To redeem the earth. Now it's been justified, it's been sanctified, called and clean, and now it's to receive this baptism of fire and to be cleansed for Jesus and his bride. Now remember, he's talking about this transition in nature, all coming through Jesus Christ, everything typing back and forth in perfection, like he said, the three cleansing. He said one was by water, blood, fire. Or the same way, water breaks, blood comes, fire, life. See? I've got something here I'll read to you too. It's been sanctified, claim and so on, received his baptism, fire, be cleansed for Jesus and his bride, and you are these other parts that's drawn out of this earth, the earth. You are part of the earth, your body, your soul is a part of God. Well, is it or not? See, that's the whole thing right there. See? And on that depends whether you are able to be reborn, which means redeemed by the blood and sealed. And with that life now to help you can grow into a true, mature son of Almighty God, the life in the Word, the life in you, the life in God is all one. And one day even your body is going to come back out of the ground redeemed. See? Now, you are part of the earth, your body. Your soul is part of God, an attribute of God, displayed here on earth in a body. No body, no display. No man to till the soil, no soil killed. No body, no reproduction. The body's to be redeemed. Now the soul's redeemed because it was in sin. Sin what? Separated from God. It was in disobedience, but it wasn't. Now remember, it was not a soul of disobedience. No, no, no. No. So God came down by process of justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost, and redeemed your soul. And you being part of the earth, it's redeemed by it. You're in the process now. It's going on. Here's your brother Branham said. He swore by himself many years ago. He said, now wait a minute. Now he's talking about a little conversation Jesus is carrying on to the people. Now wait a minute. You'll be forgiven for that because you're speaking against me. That's when they blasphemed. They said, you're the serpent seed. You're not of God. They said, we're of God. We were not born of fornication. Fornication is before your marriage, before you have relationship with your own husband. You'd be the virgin at that time. You gave yourself to somebody else. We're not born of fornication. They knew what they're talking about, serpent seed. So I said, they called him that. Because it said was, is not this the son of David when he healed the man? He said, no, this is the other fellow. That was a fast 45 minutes. Slow your tape down there, boy, you're going to ruin us. Okay. He says here, you'll be forgiven for that because you're speaking against me. But when the Holy Ghost has come, don't you say such a remark as that. For remember, the Holy Ghost will warn you in your heart. There's no way for you to do it now because the blood cell that I'm wrapped in isn't broken yet. But one day a spear will open my side, and the blood cell will be exposed then, and out will come my life, and enter into the Father, and will return back in the form of deity and power. Then the blood cell will be there, and the Holy Ghost will deal with every human heart everywhere. Then if you willfully reject the truth when it's presented you, there is never forgiveness in this world or the world to come. And of course, Brother Branham took that for the end time more than any other time in the seven church ages which the earth we've gone through. Things that are to be, well, I'm Pentecostal, I belong. You're going to say full gospel business, some of that, I think. If you don't line with that word, there's something wrong, see? Then you see your real father isn't God. Because that real start in your soul, before there was even a spirit, it was your soul. If that soul didn't come from God, then it wasn't a germ of God to begin with. You're deceived. You're in a patch of weeds and bearing the world's record of the weeds, coming forth acting like the world, loving the world because the love of God is not in you. Now, how's the love of God in you? By the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now, what's the conduit of the Holy Ghost? You say, my body, hold it, it's the Word. See, that's why Israel at the time of Jesus, that bunch, could not receive him at all, because there was no place for the conduit. Now, you see why we're looking at Rhema Logos and sticking right with the truth, as Brother Branham made it interchangeable? We don't go for this high, low-down stuff. Things that are to be. Look in your looking glass tonight and see, which way am I headed? Is Jesus preparing a place for me, a body? That body is perfect. That body walks orderly. If it's a son or daughter before God, and I'm in birth pains here to be born into that body there. If I still love the world, it shows that I'm not, you know, the germ of God. I have no body there. Why? Because, it takes... Let's just see it right here. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it gives you the whole truth, which I really should reserve to another time, but I'm not going to do it. In verse 35, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and what body do they come? Fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but a bare grain. It may chance a wheat or some other, but God gives it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Then it says, fish has one, fowl has one, this has one, that has one. Angels have spirit bodies. We are going to have resurrection human, I'm going to stop there because it's not going to be human flesh, but it is flesh and bone. You know, I just read an article the other day. I'll show you how stupid the Trinitarians are and how little they know the word. They know anything. They just know nothing. This guy is criticizing another guy because he says the body of Jesus is immaterial. It's spiritual. And he said, how can you say that it's human? And he said, it's flesh and blood. That's a lie. Jesus said, handle me, see, a spirit hath not flesh and bone. Isn't any blood there? You might as well be a Mormon or Mohammedan having sex in the millennium. And in New Jerusalem, forget it. Bunch of pigs. They haven't even got enough to come out of their wallow. They never, ever came out to go back to it. If I'm tough, I might as well die for being tough. To get us. Close us down, they close us down. Let's get it closed down for a good thing. See? You're deceived. You're in the patch of weeds bearing the world record. See, in other words, you're a weed. Trying to act like a weed. Look in your looking glass tonight. Things that are to be. And see, which way am I headed? Is Jesus preparing a place for me, a body? See, that's what we read. I'm in birth pains. I wasn't now. He said, I'm just a church member. And I said, if you love the world, that love of God's not in you, that word and all, I'm just a church member. I wasn't a germ of God. I am not. He is not my Father. Now, what is he talking about? Life can only come on like life. Life coming can only come on like life. See, can't come any other way. The life of God cannot come on anything but the life of God. Just like a life of a true male can only come on the life of a true female. In other words, she's got that life there. She's got the seed. He's got the life that it takes to bring spark that, to make it come forth. give it a body. If you haven't got the original, you're never going to have a glorified body, one like his. The Messiah, spoken in Shreveport. This is quite some time back, but it's all right. Did you ever think of this? Let me just ask you something. Look at me a minute. This is my hand. That's my finger. This is my ear. This is my nose. Who's me? That's not me. That's something belongs to me. See? This is my hand. But who is me? Who owns the hand? This is very good. This is just a house I'm living in. Well, there's got to be something that's called me. Me has got to be somewhere because this is mine. You see it? Me is somebody because I own something. I have a hand. It's mine. Well, who's me that belongs to? That's your spirit. See? Well, it depends on what kind of a spirit. Sure. See? What did you come from? Spirit of beast or the spirit of God? See? What are you, animal? No, we're all animal. We're all mammalian. Maybe we'll talk about that too. Brother Branham did. See? Who you yield your members to, that's whose servant you are. Well, that's true. What's in you? You are servant to what is in you. In other words, you will act like you. You will want what is you. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. Don't ever get that idea. As though that, like the Nazarenes and some of the Methodists. Now, Wesley never believed that junk. I never found one thing Wesley said that agreed with it. It's the people that came out of Wesley, that holiness bunch. And they tried to let on that they were perfectly sanctified, they never sinned. And the very fact of the matter is that they would say that proved they did sin. Because John called them liars. He just says he doesn't sin as a liar. You'd immediately get rid of the fact that Jesus intercessor. You don't need an intercessor. Then that reduces Jesus to only a spirit, no body. You see where you go to? You become completely insane when you start taking away. Do you believe, sirs, we would see with Jesus? Now you just have faith. Now here's a man. I've never seen him in my life. He's perhaps a little older than I am. We're strange to each other, and I don't know you. You don't know me. But I can tell you. But if God can tell me something, I'll be real quiet. Don't move around. Your spirit, see? Each one of you is a spirit. Now is he saying your spirit and no soul? No, he's telling you that you are more spirit than body. You are soul which is spirit. You are body. You are spirit which is spirit. And you are body which is not spirit. But the body would not get there except there was a spirit that had the power to take certain things and act like a creator to mold forth the progeny and make sure that you're existing. Your mortality keeps on. And you know mortality keeps on till immortality comes. That means I'll be marrying, giving in marriage, and having children. Boom, it's all over. Oh, no more left, no more seed. Now, what is seed coming from? Seed comes from sperm, comes from intercourse. What are the homos doing? Everybody's getting AIDS. Can you keep bearing children with AIDS? They'll come when you can. How long can AIDS take us? Well, four generations maximum. Four generations maximum. What's a generation? Oh, about what? Today they're cohabiting and living sexually and bringing forth children. The girl's 13 years old, men, boys 15. 52 years, we'll say, it's all gone. Kaput, before then God should annihilate it. AIDS started, what, 10 years ago? Longer than that. Started before then, they just put the name to it. 20 years, 20 to go. Year 2000 coming right up. You got a man he's backing off a bit, but he still says AIDS men can go in the army. Homos, not AIDS, but the homosexuals. So you know what you're going to have? You'll find your best men quit the army. They'll have to. They can't go to rooms where these guys are looking them up and down. And these feminine guys coming in. I'm not a gay basher, I can tell you one thing. I'm here to tell you that there isn't one of them going to make the grade unless they repent and get where those filthy things are doing. I'm going to join the church and have women join the church and say we're women preachers. And it's gone. Good. I'm like the Pope this morning. He condemned the Anglican church. Keep to it, Popey, old boy. You're wrong, but you're right on that one. Oh, God will give him credit for being right where he's right. He'll be judged. He won't have to be judged for that one. Okay, where are we going down here? Yeah, who's this? I'm the spirit. I'm right. I, being spirit. You're here for, now, he said, the man, you're here for somebody else. Okay, the comforter. You do not see me, you see my body. You don't see me. I don't see you because I only see your body. This is my hand, but who is me? This is my body. Who is me? It's a spirit. What's he saying? It's life. Okay. And now we say in the man, before we leave that subject, the man, what is he? Got a hand like God, got eyes like God, got ears like God, got a body like God. He was fashioned after God. He was given an earth and a dominion. He was made God over the earth to rule the earth, the lesser God. God rules the universe, everything. But the man was given the earth to rule the earth. He was a Messiah-et. Messiah-et. That's what he is tonight if he gets back to God. He is a Messiah-et, a little Messiah. Messiah means anointed one, and you're anointed, aren't you? That's exactly right. You're a Messiah-et. In other words, in the image, down the line, you're in the image as to what you can bear from God, not having had that position, but your own position. Every man with his own gift, his own measure of faith, his own everything. All right. We call it that just for the word's sake till we get a little further in the scripture to it. In other words, he said, you're identified all the way with him. All right. We have read these things. Now, we notice that this was greatly changed as to being more definitive after the seals. So we have read this, and you can see that it's absolutely more definitive. And now, again, we say that this proves Genesis 2 and 7 along with Genesis 1, 26 and 27. So here we have here in 1, 26 and 27 a creation and a forming. And God said, let's make man in our own image after our likeness. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And the reason, that little part, there's an interpolation where it says, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Because let us make man, that would be singular, in our image, and then let them have dominion. And he created them so. Now in Genesis, the second chapter, after all the beasts of the fields and everything were in order, there was no man to till the ground. So the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in the nostrils breath of life, and man became a living soul, or the Holy Ghost itself made this man through the breath of lives, which is the fact of associating him with the earth and all the animal kingdom. Everything that the living God had within him is Zoe, that you could prove there is a God absolutely by creation. Man is now a fundamental part with the animal kingdom and everything else in order to procreate and to fill the earth. Then God takes from him the woman, because it said there's no helpmeet, there isn't one like him, and there has to be one like him in order to reproduce him. Now, listen, what is he like? He has the life of God, making him a true son of God, which God has now brought this man to a place with the woman whereby they can produce many sons unto God and many daughters, because that takes procreation. And so therefore the life that is really what we're looking at is soul life, which is gene life, which means it's a gene of God. Then if it's a gene of God, it's got chromosomes of God. Now we're speaking spiritually, which in other words is this. If you are truly a gene with the chromosomes of God, you will literally produce God in the area, in the way, and the measure is yours to produce what God has demanded of his children based upon himself. Now remember, you and I, we just pass everything on haphazard. But don't think for 1 minute that God's haphazard. He's not even, you think how brilliant God is. As Brother Branham said, the virgin birth is nothing compared to a genuine birth of, like you and me. See? And then he said, God made it together. Your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Take it all the way back. Not just 100 years, but take it back 2,000 years. Take it back further than that. Take it all the way back. Were you an Adam? Were you a son of God? Way back there, a gene? See? So that's the life that came on down. All right. We are looking at body, soul, and spirit. Now, this is the definitive. And we know it's a definitive by reason of 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there you are, tripartite individual. And it doesn't say you've got two spirits and two souls. If you did, I would think you'd have two bodies. But at this point, you certainly do not. Because you do have a body waiting for you, but you don't have it in you. You see, the soul life should have produced and did produce in the fact of its eternality and being a part of God. According to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the Brother Branham said, that building eternal, he said eternal means never had a beginning. So, all right. You are more complete in God than you ever believed, and this really stretches your mind. You bet it does. But you better take it as it says. Absolutely. Notice, Christ was just like us. He was a body. It went to the grave. He had a soul. It went to Hades. He had a spirit. It went back to God. But remember, when we're talking about soul, body, and spirit, we're also talking about other definitions. You know, other things we can say. And you know what they are? Number one, life. number two seed. Under life, we find life is in the blood. Under seed, we find seed is in the loins. That's right. Can't deny it. But you can't separate them except to say that the seed was in the male and the life actually carried, the life that was carried in the bloodstream produced the seed in the proper organs. Naturally, your kidneys have a function. It's got certain cells. Your heart has a function. It's got certain cells. And kidney tissue should not look exactly like heart tissue, as far as I know. Otherwise, how can these guys, who make biopsies and so on, and they look for different parts of the body, and they say, well, now, this came from this part and this from this part. And it's all the same life. It's the life that's in the body, suffusing the body by means of the bloodstream. So, all right, there's primary sex organs in both the people. But only the male carries with him the ability to produce that life so it is carried on. All right. Now, we go to Hebrews, the 7th chapter. And 9 to 10. As I may say also, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham when he was yet in the loins of his father, when Melchizedek met him. All right. Where did Abraham get his life? Hopefully, certainly not from the serpent. He got it from Adam. Where did Adam get his life? God breathed into him the Holy Ghost, and he became a living soul. Or as we say, more literally, breathed in the breath of lives, the propagation thereof. Now consider seed. The first mention of seed is concerning the seed of the beast. Now, the seed of the beast is for physical manifestation. So it is life plus. You're talking about a carrier. See, that's why they use the seed for the worm, for the word sperm. Like Genesis is a seed chapter, which is beginnings. There has to be something that contains the light. For the light has within it all the dimensions spiritually to come forth in the physical. See? Even the fact you've got blue eyes instead of brown eyes and so on. So the first mention of the seed is concerning the seed of the beast for physical manifestation. Now, the beast does not have a soul seed, merely a seed, which indicates a perpetuation of the original life of whatever is in the male by his mate. So the perpetuation is by the mate, whatever is in the male. And Eve was in the male. That's why God has a bigger calculator than even you thought. Because now, what is in your wife to bring forth the right child, God has got to take it on his great big computer infinite mind and match up with the whole process. That's why Brother Branham said a virgin birth is just small change alongside of the the birth you and I have. The second mention of seed is concerning Eve, who does not of herself have seed. Now let's go to Genesis and take a look at seed. Because seed is seed. I don't care, wheat seed, bird seed, you mentioned seed, seed. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to read it. Genesis 1, 11, 12. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. The fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind. There you are. But it had tree life and bird life and this life and that life that was quoted, which shows that the hen came before the egg. And if she'd have had an egg without the male, no more chickens. So there you are. See? Now remember, the seeds were in the earth. But when it came to the beasts were not in the earth except the chemicals, the chemistry, you might say, that was there to coat the beast, the spirits, even as we were coated. But you notice, the beasts only had spirits, and the Bible said they go downward. Man has a spirit, the cattle lord searches inward parts of the belly, and the spirit goes upward, even goes back to God who gave it, permitted a God, allowed a God, but not a God. Because I can't find one place where the Holy Ghost, if you've got the Holy Ghost, ever leaves your soul. I don't see anything for that anywhere. Because that's your seal. You're going to get your body back. You, the germ of God sealed in. Identified. Now, notice, all of this is for perpetuation of life after its kind. Like pollination, even in the little seeds, little flowers out there. Genesis 1:20-22. And great whales, God created great whales, and every living creature that moved it, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl of his kind, and God saw it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, let the waters in the sea and let the fowls multiply in the earth. See, there you are. What is going to do it? See, 24:25. God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, and cattle and creeping things and beasts on the earth after his kind. It was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind. Notice, after his kind. The cattle after their kind. Every creeping thing after their kind, their kind, their kind, their kind, their kind. What kind? The original life. How does it come forth? Through seed. That's why they call it insemination. Germination. See? Okay. Genesis 1:26-27. Let's make man our image after likeness. And let them manure the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and so on and so on. See? Now they're related to the earth. And God created man his own. You mean God created him, male and female created them? And over here again, fifth verse of chapter 2, and there was no man to till the ground. So what happened? The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathing in the mouth the breath of lives. Man became a living soul. There you see it right there. Now notice, the verse 6 though, it said there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. In other words, the spirit man was supposed to control things, and evidently, this mist, which would go away later on, man would be responsible, you see, for the earth and his tenure upon earth by guarding and caring for the earth. Because man has destroyed the earth, God's going to destroy him. Now, how much more destruction can we take on this earth? That's why Brother Branham said, God didn't bring these plagues and things on man in judgment, really. What happened in the days of Noah, they brought it on themselves, the atomic bomb. Now, if there's any real truth about the ozone layer, and I suppose there is, I don't know. One says this and one says that, and phooey, I get tired of all the junk they're saying. Maybe some of you know because you study it carefully. But listen, the thing is this, if that ozone layer really is going, and the sun really begins to burn the hide off of people, it isn't God's curse upon man's sin, it is man sowing and reaping. And that's a lesson everybody in this church ought to know. It's time to begin to sow in righteousness and begin to reap it. God, I'm a million miles behind of what I should be, and so are you sitting here. Absolutely, there's a rotten situation. We are not aware and awake. See? No, and it's not the big things, it's the little things. Okay, Genesis 3:20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she is the mother of all living. In other words, the mother is to produce or bear, but not procreate of herself. She cannot do it. The man can't do it either, but she's given him to to reproduce himself. And I know right away, you say, chauvinistic male pig. Listen, women, that has nothing to do with you or me. This is a fact of nature. The life is in the man, period, and she is there to reproduce. Now you got these lesbians all coming together, and you got these homos all coming together, and they want to bring up children. Well, I'd like to see a male bring forth in another male, or a female with a female. It cannot be done. Now, if you want to mess with it, and you want to take the sperm and the egg and fuss around and do certain things, you can do it, but you'll reap all hell, and you'll think hell is pleasant to what can break upon this earth. Why? Because that wasn't given into your hands. The sex act was, which is a righteous act. It's even an act of pleasure if you do the thing right. I don't have to blush about it. Sarah said, shall me and my husband have pleasure again? What's she talking about? Looking out the window? Oh, for Pete's sake. Grow up. If you can't grow up, I've got no hope for you. And you don't have any hope for yourself, let's face it. Let's go to Psalm 37. We're going to see something which is germane to the subject here. We're keeping with it. Don't worry. Psalm 37, 26 to 20. But I told you, this is going to lead us right back where we were. So don't get your hopes up. But let's begin to see how this thing is diffused and how it moves around. So that all you better do is believe the word of Almighty God, your body, soul, and spirit, and you can be entirely sanctified to God in the three of them, making you a complete unit unto Almighty God, and to sanctify them by thy word is truth, or by thy truth, and thy word is truth. John 17. What is this? Let's go back to John 17. Hold your finger there and go to John 17. I know what I'm talking about. Sometimes I kind of doubt it. Now, sanctify them through thy truth. That's it. Thy word is truth. Water is the separation found in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, at the presentation of the bride to Christ, which is God made incarnate. All right. Psalm 37, 26. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Right? The seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Where do you go now? Somebody tell me. I'll tell you. 1 John, 3rd chapter, right? You were going to tell me that, weren't you? I knew you were, because by now you certainly should know that we're going to dismiss you and put you back in kindergarten if we even let you inside the doors. You have to go back to your pre-kindergarten, wouldn't you? On that one. Okay, the sixth verse. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. What is sin? Unbelief. Even going so far as to ascribe the works of the Holy Ghost to the devil. Misunderstanding God's nature entirely, not getting in any type of rhythm, but being just like the serpent. Little children, let no man deceive thee. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. What is that righteousness? We'll learn about it. He that commits sin is the devil. In other words, does an act of unbelief and calls it good. For the devil sins from the beginning. What was the beginning sin? He fell by reason of pride. He wanted to exalt himself above God when he already had the privilege of worshiping God and leading in the worship. He said, I'm going to take over. And that's what the churches have done. A lot of preaching this message are no different either. If you don't know that by now, you're still wet behind the ears. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he issued forth from God. Being born is to issue forth. It's not the act of procreation, it's the act of the mature child coming forth. Begetting is a different term. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Now it says, little children of man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. In this the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil, the seed of God, the seed of Satan. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Go down to verse 12. The rest is interpolation. Not as Cain who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil or wicked, and his brother's righteous. Worshipping contrary to the revealed word of Almighty God puts you in the position of going to hell, which you will go to, period. And the white throne has already taken place, according to Brother Branham. The fire is going to fall shortly, which is the same fire at the white throne 1,000 years down the line, but it's now going to fall at the end of the millennium, before the millennium, to purify the earth and give us a sanctified place for the time being. Right. 100% right. Also, let's go back to Psalms. We go to Psalm 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of God. He's got a lousy, rotten preacher. He's got the serpent stand there. Nor stands in the way of sinners. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Pharisees. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. What is that? Revealed word. Jesus said, if you had known Moses, you would have known me. He should be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. What's his fruit now? Seed. And in there lies the light. Bringing forth all these children. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. Are like the chaff which the wind drives away. that fan is in his hand thoroughly purged it for gathering in the garner burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand the judgment. No, they're going to be blown away like chaff. We're going to stand and be able to stand. Say, ha, 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 you. No, 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 no. Hold it. I didn't do it in the first place. Can't accuse me, I'm the son of God. You birds did it. You and Satan. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Well, it tells you in Matthew 10:28, fear not him that destroys body, but can destroy both body and soul in hell. And the word of God distinctly says that hell was made for the devil and his angels. They're spirits. Not even souls. We'll talk about that. If we do. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Foreknows. Don't tell me, does he? He said they're going to stand. He said the seed will be this, the seed will be that. This is it. You mean to tell me, well God just suddenly took the props away, and when he did, he left them to their own, they fell right away, and from that time on, nothing is the same, because you see, the man has got so far away from God, he's a complete reprobate, and nothing can be done except shut your big fat mouth. Quit trying to put something to it. You'll learn more and more what Brother Branham said and what he really meant before it's over. You'll find you can't put one thing to it. Jesus himself said in the Word of God, can a man add one cubit to stature by taking thought? Try and do it. Brother Branham even talks about thought control. Making a glass shatter by just looking at it, making a thing move. Associating that with devil power. He woke up with the real one. Oh, you'd be surprised what the prophet teaches. You'd present a chance. Let's go to Romans 9. If that doesn't prove what I'm talking about in Psalm 1, then I'm quoting you wrong. I ain't quoting you wrong. I'm quoting the truth. It says here, look what Israel had. They had the adoption, placing the sons. They had the glory. They had the covenants. They had giving the law, the service of God, and the promises. They are the only ones that are true assessment of God. They're, whose are the fathers? As concerning Christ in the flesh came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Not as though the word of God were taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are called Israel. Neither because are they the seed of Abraham. Are they the children? But in Isaac shall they seed be called. That was the type for the prototype. Singular. See? You got to go plumb back to where you were. If you didn't have representation back there, you don't have it now. That is, they which are of the children of the flesh, they are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for seed. There you are. The promise was replenish the earth, multiply, take control. That promise is not to Satan and to his crew. It was not made to Cain. Not only was the earth cursed because of that diabolical act, but when Cain did what he did, he himself was cursed. And the Bible speaks of cursed children. You show me one child that God was cursed. Tempted. Tried. Burned in oil maybe. Died a thousand deaths, but comes up in a resurrection immortal with Christ. Oh yes, standing almost on the right hand. Standing with him. Standing by faith on the right hand even now. Sitting on this throne now. All right, now listen. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come and Sarah shall have a son. Abraham had a child by Hagar. Forget it. That genuine life that was in that seed, that egg that would be in Sarah, that life was not in Hagar. No way, shape, and form. So it had to come by Sarah. And they said, not only this, but Rebekah also conceived by one, even our father Isaac, the children not being yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. In other words, the purpose is foreknowledge, election is calling, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, and as written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Now just for one moment, let's pretend that this it says, Esau have I loved less. One is wise virgin, one is foolish virgin. Brother Branham never took it that way. He took it the other way. Evil. What should we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. He said, man, you're blowing your mouth off. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now listen, this is God's talk. God talking. So then it's not him that willeth him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. For the scriptures have done the fair, even for this same purpose have I raised up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy, and who will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt then say, why did he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who are you that replies against God? shall the thing formed say to him before the why hast thou made me thus? See, now let's find why. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, another to dishonor? Now, here's the purpose. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Now, they fitted themselves. But down here, this is different. That he might make known the riches of the glory on the mercies, on the vessels of mercy, which had afore, he had afore prepared unto glory. Now, he prepared these prepared themselves. That's why everybody can be judged. Now, look at the cut and dry answer that Paul brings back. David, O man, who are you? And the only one that ever replied in the beginning, now Adam and Eve, they chickened. They made excuses. But when it came to Cain, he outright lied. He didn't make excuses. That's why Jesus said, your father was a murderer and a liar in the beginning. The devil never killed anybody. Show me where he did. He has to use a tool. Spirits just don't do that. They got to have something to work with. See? Have a body. Okay, now remember, seed has life in itself. And the life is in the blood. We're talking about life processes, bringing forth this body and these things which God has commanded. What we are saying is this. The life of the flesh and blood creature. Now, I've got that in parenthesis. The life of what? Flesh and blood creature produces a seed in order to propagate that very life that's in him. The life in the blood goes into a seed which can separate from the male body and produce another life with an egg that is available from the combined and from the combined material produce another like source. Generation to generation. Now remember, when it comes to Jesus, he shall not see his generation. He's cut off. He doesn't see his seed. But what is it? A generation shall be counted to him for a seed, and generation is the born of God in 6,000 years, which are seed. Right, that's scripture. I preached that here before, you just forgot it. I've taken my concordance, look it up, it's in the Psalms here. I can show you. Get my concordance, but you won't bother right now. All right. Each child that is born is a seed, and if it is a male, it produces seed, as we saw in Hebrews 7, 9 to 10, Levi and the loins of his grandfather. Coming down, down, down. You can't separate seed and life, but all seed life is not the same source as we saw in the Bible, and therefore all seed are not of God as being part of God, but will be indirectly on the grounds of creation, and by being created, are accountable to God. That's why there's nobody apart from civil law and from God's law. Now, what we saw the other day was in the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter, and we read it in 36 to 43. And this, of course, is the interpretation of the sower that sowed, and the criminals came by at night and sowed a bunch of weeds, that when it was declared wheat and tares, they said, let's rip them up. He said, no, you leave it to the harvest. Now, then the multitude went to the house. Disciples came, declare unto us. In other words, exegeticize or tell us completely and perfectly the meaning of the tares of the field. And he answered and said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And the field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Now, this is the exact meaning. Now, this is not a parable explaining a parable. You understand what I'm saying? This is 2 and 2 make 4 and 3 make 6. And there's no guesswork. You follow me? Well, you better, because, hey, you can't fool around this. Now, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. That's his messengers are going to do that. And shall send them, cast them in a furnace of fire, and they'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears here, let him hear. He's telling you this leads to the new Jerusalem. And everybody that's going to be there in the new heavens and the new earth. And he tells you there's two sowings. Now, you know a spirit does not have sperm, and the devil cannot create. No way. Neither can he interbreed without a body. But the convenient one there was the beast who was subtle, who could talk, who could reason, who could argue, who was so close to a human being, beautiful, handsome, magnificent, a giant, certainly off color, and the seed could mingle. That male beast seed could mingle with the female egg. In other words, the life in his sperm could contact the female ovum and bring forth a monster. Now notice what it says concerning this in Matthew, the 3rd chapter. It's the same thing. John the Baptist is speaking. He's out in the wilderness, and he says, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." In other words, explain it so he can get his job done. And John had his garment or camel's hair and leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey, if they're not full of microbes or good deed. Then went out unto him Jerusalem and all Judea and the regions around Judah, Jordan. They were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Sort of repentance, see? And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come, oh boy, he said, "Oh, generation of vipers, oh, you serpent seed, yeah, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourself." Now, you see, if they thought this, there's no place to repent. There's no place for the word. And don't you dare say we have Abraham to our father. Now, that's what they said to Jesus. We got Abraham. John didn't do one thing for them except to lead a few to life and the rest to condemnation. And that's always been the way of a prophet. Why? Because Jesus Christ was a prophet, and that's what he did. How many really got to the truth in his day? Hardly anybody. And since then, hardly anybody. "I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Now you're looking down to the Gentiles, of course. "And now also the axe has laid the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire." What's he talking about? Seed. What they're producing. What's your tree? Your genealogy. Where are you coming from? Bad seed. Good seed. "I indeed baptize with water and repentance, but he that cometh after me is mighty than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear." Now watch. "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." Now watch. "Whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purges forth, gathers wheat in the garner, burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Now what's he talking about? We get the Holy Ghost at the end time. God himself comes down with his decision-making power, his judgments, 2 Thessalonians, the 1st chapter, 7 to 10. And what happens then? Fire. Burns up the chaff. Now, what's he telling you? He's telling you the wheat comes out of a carrier. It's one lump. And there's now literally one sperm, one egg, in the entire human race. There's no difference. Except that life that comes by that one individual sperm to mate with that actual egg that came down from Adam by way of from God by way of Adam, that has that little gene in it from God, that soul. That's your difference right there. At the end time, I've often said, "Hey, I came from Canada. I didn't live in Saskatchewan, which is really the wheat bin of the universe. I used to think Alberta was because I lived there, which I was proven wrong. But when I was a kid, we used to have these threshing machines. Now you have these combines, so it doesn't mean a thing. As soon as it goes through, the wheat separated, the chaff and the fine dust of the stalk, you know, the stem is on the ground all dry. But back home, they had these big old chug-a-lug machines, you know, steam-driven. And the men come in with huge racks piled high with the sheaves, and they chuck them in, and the wheat would go into the bin, and the little bin would be maybe 6 feet by about 6 feet, maybe 12 feet by about 7 feet, not very high, and you see a straw state, just mountains. That's it. That's it. Few little wheat in the garner, 8 souls in the ark, all the rest are fodder. Brother Branham said, they're cannon fodder, atomic bomb fodder. All right, now, look at said you can't separate seed and life, but all seed life is in the same, is not the same source, as we saw in the Bible. All seed are not of God, only some, but one of them. Now that really throws people. That makes you heir to every despicable thing under God's high heaven, until you can be a vindicated prophet like David. You can be a vindicated king like David. You can stand there with every blessing of God upon you. 499 wives, or the full five, just about 500, and look out the window, beautiful dame. She's undressed and she's prettier than anything you ever saw. And you get her to commit adultery with you. You get her pregnant. You kill her husband. I don't think I like that. Look in the mirror, boy. Look in the mirror, girl. You ain't so hot. It wasn't only Jesus who said, look, he said, let him cast the first stone that has no sin. The Bible also says, he that's guilty in one point of the law is guilty of all. And the one point of the law is thou shalt believe and love thy God. Chime, it doesn't say believe, and there sure does, because you'll have no other gods before me. Yep. Can't believe God and have that in your life, kid. No way, you're an unbeliever. Okay. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about this. Hebrews. Second chapter. And what's it tell us? Verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Through the sanctifying work of the blood of Christ and of the Holy Ghost, which is Spirit. We read over here. I said, my life will depart from me, from this blood cell, and come back to the life of God, which it came from. And we'll come back. And that's what Jesus said. I will come back. He will come back. We will come back. Oh, yes. That's what he said. And when you get the Holy Ghost, that's your token, your seal and forever. All right, listen. For it became him from whom were all things, and by whom were all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. That's the head of the bride, the head of the redeemed. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. One source. Now, for which cause, not that they're sanctified now, that's great, but they're of one source. In other words, how can Christ deny us? How can God deny us? How can a man say, that's not my son, though he's disreputable, he's disgraceful, he's a clod, he's a clump. He's worse than that. You can't even call him a beast. He's so rotten. Son's a son. I'm going to die. Cut him out of my will. Oh, shut up. You are just begging the question, acting like an idiot. A son is a son. I'll disown him. Shut up again. We'll just take your DNA and RNA and prove that you are a lying, stupid idiot. Same with God. Look at the genes. What's there? Where'd they come from? Had they come from God, spiritual, or there's no such thing as you and me going to spirit body, already being a word body, spiritual, sanctified through the blood, sealed in by the Holy Ghost. Now it is simple to see that the two lies, Adam and serpent, could actually mingle by reason of Eve. She brought forth a hybrid life and serpent seed. In Cain we see a serpent seed, a serpent life, but not a true Adamic or beast body, but so close except for giant size. Why do I say that? Well, Cain was exceptionally close to the human race, yet actually only 50% a human body and 100% beast life. It has to be the way it is. Because he doesn't have life. She's got an egg. But she has the material, and it's the same material that beast has, because every beast of the field has those same chemicals in it. They come from the ground too. Every bird, every insect, everything. It's just what the life does with the chemistry. Now, Cain's wife was the daughter of Adam and Eve. Yet with the bodies of Cain's children being only one quarter serpent flesh, they are still serpent life and seed. You understand that? That's true. Now, what do you get with inbreeding? Crossbreeding. You get what? Let's say to make matters so we don't get into too big a question here concerning certain things. We say, let's say for 1 minute that take Brother Branham. His grandmother was pure Cherokee, right? Okay, the daughter was one half. William Branham was one quarter. the children be 1/8. From that point on, there's no Indian left as far as you think you can trace it and all. You see, what I'm trying to show you here is that what has happened, taking Mendel's law of genetics, which we can look at, the serpent seed multiplied terribly fast. And when the daughters, when the sons of God saw the daughters of men and begin joining up with them, the genes were predominant, as they always are dominant from the negative and the stronger breed. That today, at this hour, how much do we have that is serpent, and how much do we have that is non-serpent in this one lump of clay? See, as we say here, the Adamic race multiplied as did the serpent race, and finally they intermarried, and with the common lump of clay, the males, you know, that carried the light, both seed, Adamic and serpent, and where are we at the end time when we're discussing this business of the one lump and the community life that's in that lump, two communities, one heaven, one hell, so to speak, one kingdom of God, one kingdom of Satan. Okay, let's find out. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you, the common salvation was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. But for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old of this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they deny actually the understanding of Emmanuel, God with us, God incarnate. I will therefore put you in remembrance that though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, as reserved to everlasting chains, unto darkness and unto judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh. Now you know that's cohabitation in the wrong way. Are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Notice eternal fire? Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against a railing accusation, but said the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Now notice they mention Cain first because that's where they come from. Greedily after the error of Balaam. Now that's your religious fellow that's false anointed. Where the spirit's on the outside and can make contact, but doesn't get down the inside of the soul for reward. And perished in the gainsayings of Korah. That's the seed of Abraham, but not a child. Or he'd be a child of God. He's a religious guy, right there in the ranks. And he's a lot like Balaam, but he hasn't got as much goods on the ball as Balaam has. These are spots in your feast of love, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. In other words, they take the Lord's Supper, and doesn't mean a thing. Carried about of winds, that's, you know, the winds of gossip and doctrine. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. That's your lake of fire. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. That's all they produce, a bunch of air bubbles. Wandering stars, to whom the is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's like comets shooting around, big flare, big show. And Enoch also, the seventh of Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly, among them all, of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. What does it tell you there? It tells you in the days of Noah, Noah being a prophet, God was on the scene, and by the vindication of God, he condemned the whole generation, condemned the whole world. I condemn this generation. I indict this generation, see? But beloved, remember the words you've spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Notice that. And these they be who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. What do? They stayed with the truth long enough to walk off with cardinal doctrines as though they knew something, and that's where the Gnostics came from. See? The whole world now believes in a female god. Even the cartoon. I don't know if you saw the line. I can't remember the cartoon enough. I should have cut it out so you could see it. You know? But they're making it a woman. They're right back to Diana, the god's Ephesians, who said she carried the seed. Well, you talk about a bunch of nuts. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What's holy faith? Vindicatedly revealed truth. See, because they're talking about what the apostle said. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a difference. And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now, he doesn't say here, you jump on those guys and condemn them all, though that's what they're falling into. But he said there could be people that have been fooled, which will come away from that later on. So you don't give up the ship. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of glory with exceeding joy, the only wise God, our Savior, glory, majesty, power, and honor. Now, note in there that verse 19. These be they who separate themselves sensual. That means natural. Natural, not having the Spirit. And again, verse 10. What they know naturally as brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. See, that's a process of reasoning that started with Eve. Now, let's go further. Hope you're not getting bored and too tired. We'll get you out of here before daybreak, another day. Second Peter. But there were false prophets among the people, even there should be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now the teacher follows the prophet. It's prophets, wise men, scribes. And under the scribe class are definitely the fivefold ministry. Then from that there's the pew members, so to speak. Well, there's the deacons can rise and the elders who are apt to teach and they know some things. But from then on, there are people who just stay with the word and quote it or write it. And they don't try to explain it. But they all believe it. If they didn't believe it, why would they quote it? See? But they stay with it. Many follow their pernicious ways. It gets to where there's no... See, what's your pernicious ways? The blood isn't going to cover them. Why doesn't the blood cover them? Because they're off the word, John 3, 16, 17, 18. You can't isolate John 3, 16 and just say, hey, hey, hey. The next thing you say, well, you're a sinner. Yes, I'm a sinner. Well, you believe his blood was shed. Yes, I believe that. You say, yes, well, shake my hand, you're saved. Hogwash. That's Billy Graham stuff. That's what they call proof text salvation. Not good for a hill of beans. See, there's no blood. Why? By reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken of. Evil speaking is to not bring the correct word to the correct man, which is Christ Jesus. Because they're one. And through covetous, make merchandise of you. That's what the book of Revelation says, the souls of men. They barter for the souls of men. And right down the line. And let me see. We won't read it all, but verse 12. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. Now that's Romans 9 again. Speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Which means they cannot comprehend. They're ignorant. You see? Why? Because they didn't listen to the prophets. See, John came. Now, let's go to Luke 1. I've said this many times, but I want to say it again so you're going to get it, not fool with it. It says here concerning John the Baptist, verse 15, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before the Lord God in the spirit and power of Elijah. That's absolutely a prophet. To turn the hearts of the fathers to children, even the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, what's he saying there? The word disobedient does not mean there's a command issue and you're disobedient. It means they don't understand. Even those that don't understand the word to the truth given by the one who gave it. And this makes the people ready. John had to be there to explain the word that was necessary. The light pointing to the light. And so did William Branham. So did Moses. So did every prophet. Oh, God, they read the books and say, well, I don't see a thing of vindication over here in Isaiah. I don't see a thing over here of vindication in Joel. Well, then why do you read your Bible? You just prove you don't believe it. You're just a sucker for something that God knows. You're just a sucker for the devil. And you talk about him giving you a lousy deal. He's showing you a deal where you don't even have a brain. So what makes you think I got this far? I'm a good citizen. I'm this. That. I don't care what you are. You're a brute beast at the end time. Hey, it says right here, I told you Mendel's law. You get those trays in there, and you watch how they zoom up. You remember, back in the days of the pharaohs, and the Incas. They had hairless dogs and purple dogs. So they started breeding them. They got a hairless dog and they got a purple dog. Like today in America. They just took the genes there. Made them predominant. Now where are the predominant genes? They are right in the serpent seed race because it says so. Eight souls make the ark. First of all, the word of God separates. And it said in its separating, it directs the path of the righteous. Because it's a lamp under the feet. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp under my pathway. It's a lamp and a light. You won't go astray. Hide in your heart. Keeps you from corruption. Bring it down to your mind, to your heart. At the end time, transfigures you, which means you absolutely change. You get your glorified bodies. Remember, the spoken word of this hour living in you makes you immortal. The voice of God that raised the dead come hither or forth raises the dead. They without us cannot be made perfect. All right. Brute beasts, unstable souls, and so on, perish in their own corruption. And notice at the end what it says. These people that stand there and they act as though they're Christians, like Cain worshiping, the devil worshiping, yet attracting attention to himself, throwing the word of God on himself, thinking he can interpret it, because that's what Cain did. He wrongly divided. Now it says here to these people, for if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, again are entangled. That is not a Christian. That's a serpent seed, natural brute beast. He comes so far. He can baptize in the water. He can have what looks like a repentance. But he will not come the way of the word. Because that's what this is all about. Wrong teaching. Twisting what the revealed word of vindicated prophet says. He turns it, the truth, into a lie. And it brings forth people, wolves in sheep clothing. Now understand what I'm talking about. Whole congregations, wonderful people. Now listen, their latter end is worse than the first. Why? Because they think they've got reality, and it's not. It's the same rotten, dirty old devil sealing them right in. Cinching them, pulling them in where there's no escape. See, now listen, 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. Now, what is the way of righteousness? It's the proper dividing of the word. Thereby worshiping within that context. Now, listen. But it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog Not the sheep. The dog. This is not a parable nor an analogy. This is the truth. The beast has returned to his vomit. The sow to the wall. So, but these people are so nice to us. They've got miracles. They've got this. Oh, listen. Hey. I hope to God nobody in the sound of my voice in this church or on any tape that goes out to various parts that you cannot understand that. And you cannot bank on it. Because this is the one word that divides a majority from a minority. One lump of flesh. But the gene of the soul does not lie in every single one. Now, so here we are where we were last Sunday. Yeah. Who but Brother Branham could be definite? And he found out he could not teach it. For the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed us belong unto us and our children for 1,000 generations, that we may do all the commandments of the Lord. See? Okay? But before we close, we're not closed for a while. So don't get your hopes up. I'm going to go back to Genesis 3. We'll try to wind this up and show you that you can just leave it the way it's being treated until we can find something very definitive, Brother Branham said, and go right back to the Scripture. Genesis 3 and 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. All right, now let's go over here to Ezekiel chapter 28. You know, of course, we're going to read. And in verse 12, Son of man, take up the lamentation against the king of Tyrus. Send him. Thus saith the Lord God. Now, you notice that Tyrus here is evidently the one that Satan is using. The same as he used the beast. Because remember, Satan cannot procreate. He cannot make himself what he isn't. He is definitely a spirit being. Now we understand that. Now, thus saith the Lord God. This is to Satan. Thou sealest up the sum of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now the king of Tyrus wasn't there. The guy behind him. That's impersonating him, and Satan impersonating himself in that man. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius. Now notice how close this is to the ephod that the high priest had upon his breast. All these emeralds and these beautiful things there. The carbuncle and gold and workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So what does this guy do? This guy that led in the worship, this Satan in whom was known, it was perfect till iniquity is found, he goes right to the Garden of Eden and plays high priest. Yeah. Comes right between Eve, representing the church, and God, to deliver the word. There it is right there. Representing the truth as the stones flash. You see, the Urim and Thummim. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. One of the truly great archangels, right up there with Michael, in whom Christ was at that time. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. He sure was. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created till the iniquity was found in thee. In other words, he knew to do better and didn't do it. He did his own thing. So if you know to do better and don't do it, you do evil, iniquity is the same thing. You do wrong instead of doing right. When you know to do right, it won't do it. Now Eve knew better. See, that was the whole trouble. And Adam knew better. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Now that was Tyre, you see, that was happening in that great city and that king there. And now he said, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God and destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of stones of fire. All was in association. Tyre went down. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. And I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, the earth, in the sight of all them that behold thee. Malachi 4. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. And thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. In other words, on the closing day, Satan has his last big fling, and he's taken care of there. Okay. There is the beast in the Garden of Eden. And the beast is literally Satan. And he takes over an animal. Because he cannot take over a human being, of which there's only two. So he insinuates himself as the high priest, the mouthpiece for Almighty God, and he's going to interpret the word. Okay. Now, we go to Revelation chapter 19. Now look, the book of Revelation is plumb full of the word beast. I am not going to fool with it. I mean, I'm not going to take scripture after scripture. If you want to read the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, which you know, it tells you all about the beast, and chapter 14, I think it is, and right down the line. But I like this one here, because this does us the most good. Beginning at 19. And this is when Christ comes, when the bride comes back with Jesus upon the white horses and flames of fire taking vengeance upon the earth at that time. And I saw the beast and the king of the earth and your armies and gathered to make war against him that sat upon the horse and his army. That's Jesus and his bride, God incarnate. And the beast was taken and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him with which he had deceived them that received the mark of the beast. You see what I'm talking about? A false prophet lying signs and wonders, and he changes the whole word of God and becomes the high priest of the people. And them that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, that's the word of God, and filled the. And there you are. So what are we looking at? We are looking at the fact that Satan led in worship. But he rose to the place where he said, I'll make myself God. In fact, I will receive worship. And he tried to get Christ to sell out in the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew. Christ does not sell out. But when the bride is gone, the church sells out. See? All right. They turn to worship. So what we're looking at is Alpha and Omega. The beast in Genesis, the beast in the Revelation. And remember, he comes right before Chapter 22 and verse 10, which is the tree of life. And he is right there when the Son of Man ministry appears. In 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, the Son of Perdition is there because there's twins. You cannot have Luke 17 and 30 without 2 Thessalonians because one is the Son of Man, one is the Son of Perdition. And the Son of Perdition is absolutely the ilk Balaam. And Korah and those other men. They're all hinging their lives upon the ministries. Now, but there's something in between we can look at. Between Alpha and Omega. And between Alpha and Omega, there's the book of Daniel. And the book of Daniel, the fourth chapter, as I have it written down here, thirteen to sixteen. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. Now that's Nebuchadnezzar. Dream. He cried aloud and said, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even a band of iron and brass. And the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with dew of heaven. And let his portion be with the beasts and the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Notice how perfect. Here is the man that's the head of gold. Here's the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, that God looks down upon as the cap, the peak of the pyramid for all the rest of the ages of this earth, until the stone made without hands comes down and kills everything a bit of it. Now this king Nebuchadnezzar is the forerunner of all the four kingdoms. Even Rome, which does not get exterminated because notice, it's cut down to where it's a stub in the ground. The wound of the beast, but didn't die. It revived under the Holy Roman Empire. And notice that this head was given the heart of a beast. Now, where's the beast? It's in Rome. Where are you going to get the beast again? It's going to be the headship of the Gentile church. While the Gentile church is capped with the Holy Spirit as it is now, the church of the world is capped with the devil spirit as it is now, waiting only for the incarnation. Everything is in order. Notice, when Mr. Reagan, bless his bones if a blessing is in order, or whatever, where did he go to get rid of communism? Now, he could have done it himself. But he went to Rome. Now, Rome may not have the armies at this time to say, shut up and sit down or I'll kill you. But all he's got to do is talk. And he influenced the nations that will listen. He certainly blessed Desert Storm. What was it, 119 nations represented? No, that's the Catholic Church got 119 ambassadors everywhere. I think 99 nations were there represented. Around that line. So he well represented. Now the little question comes in. The Pope says, now I don't think what's going on in Yugoslavia is right. I think I should condemn genocide. What does he do about it? Does he get with the patriarch of the Greek Catholics and tell those Serbs, look, we know the Muslims came in here. And we know they took your land. And we understand that you want to get your land back. So they stand by yet today, and let those Muslims, rest them, they're being decimated. It is strictly a chapter of genocide. The world knows it, but they wouldn't talk about it for a long time. Remember, I told you, I suspected it had to be genocide based upon religion. It absolutely is, as far as I can see, because right now the big prelates and the big dignitaries of the church, they say, look, this is our land. These are our cathedrals. You came here and messed up. Out. I wonder how come the world isn't so frenzied about helping the Jews. How come America stepped in and said, now you stop the killing of those people. You've gone far enough. Was it a 6-day war, 7-day, or who knows, who cares? What is it, 6 or 7? Who knows? Six? Six. Okay, 6 a number of man. Should have had 7, had number gone. So therefore, America said, I just found this out recently, America said, ha, you stop it. Now I'm not angry that America stopped the killing of the Arabs. I'm just asking the question. Why? Was it since America became a Catholic nation and a Catholic president? and the Catholics hate the Jews? Come on, let's be honest. And the Protestants do too. The seed of the mother, same thing. And the children of the daughters. So what we're looking at. Already today, the spirit of the Antichrist is extant and he's doing everything he can until the incarnation. And what he's doing now will build to his incarnation. All right, let's go to then the 4th chapter, 28 to 33. At the same time, this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the king of Babylon. And the king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon? Have I not built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for my honor and majesty? And doesn't the church say, I am no widow? I've got it made. Isn't she Nicolaitan? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee is spoken. The kingdom departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee grass as an oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee. There it is again. Thou shalt know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and gives whomsoever he will. And that's at the end of the 7. And the same hour the thing was fulfilled from Nebuchadnezzar upon Nebuchadnezzar, driven from men, did eat grass as oxen, body was wet with the dew heaven, his hair grew like eagle feathers, his nails like bird claws, and at the end time, he lifted up his eyes, his understanding returned. What I'm trying to show you there is this same thing happens at the very end. There will not be an accredited claim of Almighty God until he comes with the bride and sets him right down there at the lake of fire. And at that time, every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. They won't do it right today, brother, sister. They can't do it. So you can see what we're at here. The head of the Babylonian Empire that became the Roman Empire. And today is the Holy Roman Empire through 7 church ages. What we're seeing. Now, again, I say, according to Mendel's law of genetics, the dominant traits, We believe that the predominant traits of the race today are purely animal in the sense of the original serpent and likewise in control of Satan. Subtle, wise, absolutely unrighteous, absolutely wicked, senseless in their killings like Cain. What about that young boy in Dayton? 20 years old. Now they want to say there's something wrong with him mentally. I would suggest there's more than something wrong mentally. He's in this beauty parlor where this Hispanic lady, I think she is, is getting a little treatment from the beautician. He grabs her purse. She doesn't even know it. Looks in her cards. Takes out money. Gets a cab to her home to rob it. Then when he gets through robbing it, he even gives some kid that gets awake there a glass of water. Takes up the tea, the other things. Then he said, my fingerprints in the kitchen. He said, I'll burn the place down. Four or five kids sleeping. He said, well, I thought they'd smell the smoke. Here's this murderer, 20 years of age. Now they'll try to get him off, sure. And two other kids. What is going on today? They're screaming about education. The very place of education in the schools today is teaching them every diabolical thing to confirm the fact they are children of hell. And the church started the whole thing by not preaching the truth. You wonder why I can't stand preachers and teachers? I have one of each. I taught. And I quit teaching for one reason. The parents left it upon me to not only be the teacher, to be the preacher, to be the spiritual advisor, the physical advisor, the mental advisor, while they sat back and picked their nose and committed adultery. I tell you, they'd go to hell, and they are going to hell before I went back teaching. Person literally wasting his time. Oh, there's room for good teachers, yeah. And no doubt at all. Where are you going to find them? How long can they take the guff? How long can they stand up against the principles? And I mean the men, and I mean the teenagers. How can they do it? The only thing you can do is teach rottenness and filth. They're trying to stop the spread of AIDS, and they're doing everything they can to promote it. What they're doing, they're taking a criminal whose intent is to kill, they're taking the sword out of the left hand and giving him a Tommy gun in the right hand. That's what they're doing. Natural brute beasts. Thoroughly controlled by instinct. That's where every parent must teach his children, male and female, that the body is instinctual, but you must be very careful where your instincts go. And keep them under control, because natural brute beasts. Well, that's a little bit of time. We're almost there. All right, listen. With the heart of a beast. That's what's here today. So with all serpent seed. To talk about soul or souls, I cannot. Because souls also mean individuals. As in Galatians 6 and 5, every soul must bear his own burden. 8 souls were saved in the ark. Also, Peter mentions the world of the ungodly and the godly. They're 2 different worlds. So let it just be... let us just relinquish the subject, let go of it, with this thought. It is sower and the seed. That's what you're looking at. Soul, spirit, this, that. Resolve it in one thing. Seed. 2 plants. 1 lump of flesh. Takes God to know which is which. And you only know you're a child of God and you've got a true soul. Now, since we know that everybody's categorized under soul, and the soul that's in this shall die, and that could mean just separation, or it could mean the second death. It does speak of the second death. We know that. Souls are mentioned there. Souls in the lake of fire. Burnt up. God can't destroy a part of himself. So can we say that this man has a hybrid soul? Was it a soul that God created? Let me say this one thing. All I know is that 2 life streams came together and produced this particular creature who did not have a soul from Almighty God. And if he's been given a soul of God, let's put it this way distinctly, it certainly is a hybrid soul. Because animals don't have souls. This one's got a soul. What is it? I just say forget it. And remember one thing, the truth lies in seed. You go to your Old Testament, it's full of the word soul. Go to your New, it's not there. You go to your Old Testament, it's full of the word seed. There's a whole page. I don't know how many hundreds of quotes on it. Souls, and right up and down the line, you see. But when it comes to the New Testament, You go to Galatians, and it strictly tells you one thing. Either you're the seed of God or you are not. And if you're that remnant, I mean you're that bolt of cloth, as in Adam all died, in Christ all made alive, and you are that set pattern, you will be the firstborn, identified with Christ, you were positively in Him for the first resurrection, and you will believe the word of the hour. Yeah. And that's all you will go by. Every bit of your worship is dependent upon an absolute 100% correct revelation of the vision of the Word of Almighty God. Because that's where Cain got 100% off beat. He took the Word back to God and said, look, it says right in here, I can offer this kind of offering. He said, you have rightly offered, but incorrectly divided. Therefore hast thou not sinned. What is sin? An absolute unbelief in the true revelation of Almighty God. Just won't believe. So understand this morning, what am I? Am I the seed of God or I'm not the seed of God? You got to look. That's my understanding, what I look at. Matthew 15. You thought you were finished, didn't you? It's all right. I'm finished for, I don't know when I'll come. I said this before, but I really mean it. If I had to preach this today, I wouldn't even be here. That's why no tapes went out last week. They'll go out this week. To try to get the people to understand a little more where I'm coming from. I cannot answer the question definitively. Let people try it. That's their business. Matthew 15 and verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah say, prophesy of you, saying, this people draws nigh me with their mouths, honors me with their lips. Their heart doesn't say soul. Doesn't say mind. Says heart. What's the Antichrist got at the end time? Heart of the beast. What did Jesus call these birds right here in John 8? Serpency. Hearts far from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. But hold it, based upon original word. Why? Because Satan didn't say there's no God. He didn't say this. He said, yea, as he said it, just a minute now. I know he said it, but I'll tell you the real truth. I'm the high priest. I'll give it to you. He gave it to them all, right? Gave him death. He called the multitude and said, hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. What's he talking about? These religious people that are worshiping. Praying and worshiping, you defile yourself. That's the book of Proverbs tell you. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of it and with the increase thereof. You speak your words from your heart, comes out in your ears, down again, comes out larger, like the fish story. That's a man I caught it. He caught a 8-inch trout. when he told his friends after he ate the trout, man, he said, what a day, what a day. He said, I got a trout. He said it was 14 inches long. Well, he just got 6 inches on top of it. That's the next day, sounds good. He said, hey, man, I want to tell you, he got a trout 18 inches long. What happened? He told it. It sounded great. Came down. It was bigger the next time. Finally had a two-foot trout. Now hold it. That's not quite... He had to be fishing in a lake to get a lake trout, right? For a two... I don't think get two... The Dolly Varden's out there, not 2 feet high. The Browners, no, they're not 2 feet. I never saw one anyway. I've seen some good size, but never 2 feet. Never a big... But you see, the guy, he'll lie. Now, these people are religious people. Understand, please interpret your Bible from the viewpoint. And the viewpoint are serpent seed worshipers, a mixed multitude. And what's he hitting them on? He's hitting them on worship. Right? Come on. Relationship to God. I don't mean to yell at you, but you see, hey, look, that's my nature. Maybe I'll start taking some pills to quiet me down. Prozac, Anzac. What's Anzac? That's Australia? Sometimes just kidding. So we're all going to settle down or something. Now, then his disciples came. Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard these sayings? Oh, my. And he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. How? The revealed judging word. The judge doesn't stand there exercising some great power. He exercises the word. Right. Right. Yeah. You getting somewhere this morning?
So it's worth you sitting here in this hot place perspiring. Think of all the work I'm doing.
Let them alone. Hey, the blind leaders the blind. If the blind lead the blind, they both fall in a ditch. What does that tell you? He that diggeth the ditch will fall into it. And Peter said, declare us this parable. Oh, he said, oh, Lord, Peter. Haven't you known me this long? And don't you know the crowd? Don't you know what I'm all about, what John the Baptist said, what I'm saying? Can't you ever get to the place where you understand this is not a parable? This is the truth. We are not talking about seed of God and serpent seed as examples. We are talking about reality. The judgments of God are sure. Not as though you can fool with him. Oh, I think we're getting along very well. Let's go to John 8. We're going to see the same thing again. Just bear with me. We're going to get there. Don't worry. I'm getting as bad as used to be. I'm getting weaker all the time and stronger all the time. Ho, ho, ho. What a little contradiction in sayings. But not spiritual. John 8:37. I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Okay. Then whatever soul this serpent seed has, there is one thing unique. It has no place for the word. No place for the word. Just ain't going to fit. Then what is the uniqueness about the seed of God's soul? A place for the word. Now it all lines up, doesn't it? You say, what if the serpent hasn't got a soul? We just take for granted. He's got a life. There's no place for it. Because you see, you and I deal with soul life. The beast deals with spirit life. Now let you understand this completely. It is not said any place in Scripture I know, or any hint by any author, or by Brother Branham, that Satan has a soul. He is spirit. And remember this, hell was made for the devil and his angels, and they're all spirit. But it says right here, your soul and body in the lake of fire. And that body is a resurrected body, but not like ours, because every seed has its own body. It has a body commensurate to the lake of fire for the suffering which will be there. That's what Brother Branham taught us. We know it to be the truth. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Oh, man, they got mad. They answered and said, Abraham is our father. We know how he was and what he did. And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. Evidently, you're not doing them. For now you seek to kill me. A man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. He's bringing the right to the supernatural. I'm vindicated. Don't you understand that I'm speaking as God to you people because I'm vindicated by God? Oh, no, they won't believe that. No, the devil does these things, you know. Do you realize that these Jews believed that? And if they didn't, they said it anyway? Come on, they believed it, don't worry, and they said it. See? You seek to kill me. I told you the truth. Abraham didn't do that. Or Sarah lied, but then she got over in a hurry. You do the deeds of your father. That's Cain. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. See, because they could trace their genealogy back there. All the way to Abraham was a sure cinch they were all the way back to God. Because Adam was the son of God. It says right in the genealogy book of Luke, you can't change it, that's what it is. No, they sure misread that one. One lump, see? Jesus said, if God were your father, you'd love me. Isn't that what John said? Sure, he said you wouldn't try to kill me, you'd love me. Why? Because word responds to word. When you heard this message, didn't you love it? Man, it set me free. I was looking for something all my life, something that fit in between the cracks. Everything had a crack. I said, I like this over here, I like this over here, and I like this here. I think the Baptists have a good point. Even Seventh-day Adventists have a pretty good point, although I don't know really too much about it, but there's some little tiny thing in there. Tiny, tiny thing. Sure wasn't what they built the whole thing on. Jehovah's Witnesses have a little bit over here. Presbyterians and even Pentecostals. And I say, now, just a minute. And I suddenly woke up. If I were to preach what I call a community doctrine that should really suit everybody for its sheer exhilarating power of impressive wisdom and knowledge from God, the manifested voice behind it, all of these things, and even without that, just take what he taught. I said, I'm going to tell you something. If I had to go to church and preach, I would take what Brother Branham said, because it just seems to fill in all the cracks. This is what I'm looking for. Now, sometimes it's hard to see those cracks filled in. But I'm satisfied with it. I like it. This is what I like. If I didn't like it, I'd be someplace else. Now, sometimes I don't like some of the treatment I get, you know, which is all part of the training. And old Cain, he got mad because he was rebuked about his how to worship God. I would not be rebuked. I'm very happy to know I can worship right. And I don't have to go to the book some Pentecostal roads. You've got to run around the house three times. You've got to scream four or five times, turn a hand, somersault, and everything else. You know, I don't have to do that. No. So he said, if God were your father, you'd love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now there, that's 1 John 3 again. The two seeds. You understand? Absolutely. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. There was no way. Now, if there's no place in there, and you can't understand it, no way. Now watch. You are of the father the devil, and the lusts of your father you'll do. Now, what was the lust of the father? To take preeminence at any cost. Satan did it. Cain did it. Every church that's of Satan does it. That's why you're going to have a slaughter at the end time like you never believed possible. There will not be one foolish virgin left, as I understand it. Some of us may not get out of here in the rapture. We could even be destroyed. Let's face it. More and more pressure coming down. And anybody that dares to voice a conscience and even be sympathetic, they're just kidding. Why? Because they cannot stand being come against. Now, if Mr. Luther had just said to the old Pope back there, whoever he was, the old Pope John, whatever, or Leo. Yeah, Leo back there. He said, I'm going to tell you, sir, I've come to the place that I appreciate the freedom you gave me to study. I appreciate what I've had as a man, but I want to leave the ministry. I feel I want to get married. I feel I want to be away from the church, as it's understood today. And I feel I'd like to say some things privately, but I'm going to leave you alone. It'd be no trouble. But he stood up and was counted. And he came right against Rome, and that meant death. And when you come against Satan, that means death, because that's exactly what the lie is. It is death, and Satan is the angel of death, if there ever was one. Now, I know there's another angel of death, but this is the guy that brings it. Now, he said he was a murderer in the beginning. Satan never murdered anybody. It was Cain that did it. And abode not in the truth. Neither Satan nor his son Cain, because there's no truth in him. Now, see, there you are. If the word wasn't there in the beginning, a representation, you'll never get it now. Okay? When he speaks of a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father. And what did Brother Branham say a lie was? The truth misrepresented. Satan does not have a word. He must pervert and all the things that God said. And there you are. Now, now we are going to close. Okay? You happy? So it's okay if you're not happy. I'm happy. I'll be happy for you. Okay, listen. Malachi 4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly. Now, who are the wicked? Those who worship apart from the revealed word of God, which takes in about literally 99% of the entire human population. Because even as one man said, there are no atheists in foxholes. And there'll soon be no atheists, period. They that do wickedly shall be stubble. What's stubble? What's left over? What was once a growth? Not anymore, it's gone. For the day cometh, shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, leaving neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you'll go forth and grow up as calves of the stalls, and shall tread down the wicked. There'll be ashes on the sole of your feet. Now, what's the ashes? The chaff and the stubble. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, when I command him in Horeb. That's the Bible, the second time given. The word second time given, and today, Paul's message, the one that brought it, so Paul is here revealing it. Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. What great for the day of the Lord? When the fire is going to fall right here, the judgment burning them up, us glorified, we glorified, for the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And it is Elijah, that was John, turned the hearts of the fathers to the children, our Elijah, the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Who are our fathers? Goes right back to Paul, who went right back to all the prophets, who went right back to God. So there we are, brother. Said, don't worry about the soul. Try to make a big difference, whether it's male or female, this or that, and the other thing. Leave that to the fellows that are bigger than Brother Branham. Evidently, he couldn't do it. Evidently, he could do it if he went to God. What was the use? He ended up by one. What did he end up with? Seed. 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 Right? That's all you have to think about. So, Brother Vale, I'm a sister in the Lord. Your seed. Oh, hey, I'm a brother. Your seed. Take your pick. Weed? Seed? They rhyme, don't they? That's one couplet I don't want anything to have. I would sooner have seed, seed, seed. And remember, the first part of seed is S-E-E. The seed sees what the weed never sees. And they walk in the light as he is in the light. And they have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, constantly cleansing. Let's rise and be dismissed. You've been a good, lovely bunch of people. I appreciate you, love you, and feel sorry for you, but I can't feel that sorry because I had to do a job. I hope I've done it. Heavenly Father, we come to you now after a long dissertation. Just looking at these things, Lord, who are the children of God? What is it all about? And we're right back to what we always thought Brother Branham and knew him to have taught. The seed chapter Genesis ends in the harvest chapter of the New Jerusalem. There he is, the Father and the only begotten Son, the Lamb. One in the pillar of fire above the throne, and the Lamb on the throne, the bride all around the throne, the light going around the universe, no need of sun and moon and all those things, tree of life in the midst, and those others outside bringing their glory in. And we see these are the seed, these are the children. Whatever else anybody didn't have, that's nothing to do with us. Even as Jesus, talking one day, said concerning John, what if this man should, you know, live until I come? Didn't say he was going to. People got fussing. He said, what's it to you? What's it to any of us, what's out there? What's to us is what's in the Word, what we're feeding on, what you brought as vindication, whether we're seed or not. And Lord, we know today, when it boils right down, we've only got one evidence, and that's believing the Word. Everything else is shattered. Everything else is gone. Everything else, Lord, that you breathed upon as a mighty rushing wind this day has been chaff. Yep, dry stalk, fit for the burning, can't stand in the judgment. But already, Lord, the trees planted by the waters, especially Ezekiel's river, we believe that. Judgment has come, and we're still standing. One day, by your grace, we'll all be gone to the earth from this congregation and come back in the resurrection. Or some will be standing here, others gone, waiting for the resurrection, and then be changed. Standing. Still standing. Trees planted by the river of life. Trees planted by God.
by the river of life. No interlopers, no hybrids, just pure children of God with a body commensurate and a life that looks further and further. So unto thee we offer our praise and our gratitude that we do worship you in spirit and in truth, and we are those who are doing it. And Lord, we are the blameless sons of God, the bride that didn't do it in the first place, not because we say so, be because you say so. And our faith lies in that vindication only you could do. Even as we might say in this hour of many gods and many concepts, let God be God. And we've seen the one who is God manifested. Help us in our infirmity and our wandering minds and these things that would entice us and try to enchant us. To leave them alone. It's not necessary. Who and what we are in you we've seen today. We might rely upon it. And go forward in peace, pressing the battledores, living godly in Christ Jesus, knowing that we are that seed by faith. We are that seed. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.